Entertainment. Phantom Radio may contain adult-oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Charlotte Radio. Charlotte Radio. Rocks. RadioCharlotte.com.
Phantom Radio Live on RadioCharlotte.com. It's Ren. I know you're sitting around the house starting to get a little hangry, eating the same thing over and over again. You keep eating corn dogs and frozen pizzas, you're going to have a bad time. But there are a lot of options here. A lot of local restaurants here in Charlotte are still open. You can pick it up. They'll deliver it. Support these local restaurants. That way we can all get through this together. Now, if you are one of these restaurants, give me a call on the TAN line, 704-826-5463, 704-TAN-LINE. Leave a message. Let us know. We'll help spread the word. And everybody go wash your hands and stop touching your face. Radio Live on RadioCharlotte.com. It's Ren. How you doing? Getting through the day okay? Good. That's what I want to hear. 704-10 line, 704-826-5463. That's the phone number if you're here in Charlotte or listening around the country. Give me a call. Let me know what's going on with you in your state. How you holding up? And looks like right now I got some people listening in Germany and Denmark, in Sweden. And Paris, France. Merci beaucoup. Appreciate that. Thanks for listening. Man, this whole thing, it's so wild. It's like living in a dream or a crazy-ass movie. Things keep changing day after day after day. We just keep rolling with it. Now, yesterday, the White House and the Coronavirus Task Force did extend the stay-at-home order until April 30th. So they did extend it a bit. I know some of you out there going, oh, man. Some of you going, yay. But it's not meant to keep you locked in your house. It's meant to keep you safe. This virus is still spreading quicker and quicker every day. That's the reality of it. And the stay-at-home order is to keep you safe. Keep us from spreading this thing. There's still a lot of people out there. I can't believe I have to say this again. But this weekend, so all over social media, people still throwing parties and hanging out and playing basketball with each other in the park and things like that. That's kind of what we're trying to avoid, people. I know that you feel fine, you feel invincible, I get it, but the reality of it is you could be contracting or spreading this virus and you don't even know it. That's one reason why this thing is spreading so quickly. So, you know, be smart about it, be safe about it, stop being a dumbass. When you do that, you're part of the problem. That's all I'm going to say about it. I've said enough about it. But you know, the real true heroes in this whole situation are the doctors and the nurses at these hospitals and clinics that are on the front lines every single day. They go in there to help people because that's what they love to do. That's their life's calling, is to help other people. They put their health and safety on the line. They take a big risk going in there, but that is what they do. I'm sure a lot of them are scared. A lot of them don't know what's going to happen from day to day, but they're still there. They're always there to help those people in need. So coming up here in just a little bit, we're going to talk to one of those heroes. We're going to talk to a nurse that's in one of the biggest, busiest hospitals in New York City with COVID-19 patients right now. We're going to get kind of an inside perspective on what's going on in these hospitals on the front lines, how people are doing, how quickly people are coming in to the emergency room and being admitted, and what she's going through personally dealing with this every single day. So we'll talk to her here in a little bit once she gets off of her shift and see how she's doing. So let's go ahead and take some phone calls. 704-TAN-LINE, 704-826-5463. Let's go to Leah in Charlotte. How are you?
Oh.
Yeah?
It's like probably you hanging in there. My hours have been cut. What about you?
Hanging in there. One day at a time with this situation. Everything changes day by day, so kind of have to learn how to pivot.
Oh, my God.
When you need to, you know?
I know. I'm serious. It's just, it's really scary. I mean, like, we've been through a lot. Like our generation, but this is something I've never seen.
I know.
So, but yeah, just trying to make it day to day and figure out what the future will look like when it does get back to semi-normal reality.
I know. I mean, this country's been through a lot in the past, and it's always bounced back. So it may not, you know, be 100% day one, but it will get there. So we're going to be okay.
I know.
So how are you getting through it?
How I'm surviving. At first it was on wine and Tiger King, which I'm sure many people have probably done the same thing. I'm studying
wine
at home to be a...
Tiger King?
Yes. Studying at home to be a in-home sommelier or whatever you call it.
Right. So explain this whole... I haven't jumped on the bandwagon yet. I haven't seen it. I've been busy here at home working on stuff and haven't really gotten into it, but I've seen it on social media. What is the whole Tiger King thing?
So I have to tell you, I'm at a couple of episodes I have to rewatch because, you know, when you're binge watching and you're binge drinking, that it doesn't go very hand in hand. You have to go back and rewatch.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, an animal sanctuary where the guy that owns it is, he is, you know, pretty redneck and he's openly gay. And he just, for me being, you know, having a passion for animals, it was really hard to also watch because, you know, it's all about their story, but for me, it was like, how is no one caring about these animals? Like he's, you know, he's trying to crossbreed certain animals and stuff, but, yeah. And then there's a woman on there that she, apparently everyone thinks that she fed her husband, you know, to the tigers because he's missing.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah. So if you
get a chance, that makes sense.
I
have seen some things on, social media that talk about that, and I'm like, what the hell are they talking about? That makes more sense.
Yes, if you get a chance, you should watch it. It's great. It's also just when it comes to some of those organizations, and when you see that, you really do start to think about like how people are, you know, mistreating these animals and how it shouldn't happen. But but it definitely gives you a little laugh and giggle for where we are right now. So.
And it, I mean, it's good to do that and watch some brainless television to kind of get your mind off of all this stuff. You know, it helps.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Mindless, numbless TV. I'll take it any way I can get it.
I talked to a friend of mine the other day up in New York who's a executive producer for VH1, and he was talking about how a lot of the productions have shut down, but people are starving right now for reality TV. And it's a perfect time for some of these new shows coming out like that because they're such a hit. That's all people are doing, sitting back watching TV. Better to watch that than watch CNN or Fox News or something.
I know.
I was flipping through, checking out just to kind of catch up a little bit on what's going on as far as the news goes. And you watch CNN, and they're all talking about how we're all going to die tomorrow. You turn it over to Fox News, and they're talking about how we're all going back to work tomorrow. It's like,
well, isn't it one and the same?
what are we doing here?
You know what? As far as, you know, being used to bitching about going to a job and all those little things that you used to bitch about, you really do take into consideration, like, how, you know, important the small things were. So, you know, it sheds light on some of those things that you thought were so bad aren't really bad.
Yeah. This world had gotten to a place, kind of been there for a while, where it was just, I don't know, people were really being selfish, you know, not living in the present, taking things for granted, using people, you know, just so much greed. And that's the way it is with human beings. It seems like a cycle, and we have to go through something like this to get everybody's attention and remind them again that, hey, be thankful, be kind, love everybody, you know, instead of being a dick. So hopefully this will help people to think in a different mindset again. Remind them.
That's exactly right.
Well, Leah, you hang in there. You be safe. You take good care of yourself.
Ditto, buddy.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. All right. Coming up next, we're going to talk to a nurse up in New York who was on the front lines at one of the busiest hospitals up there in Manhattan with COVID-19 patients right now. One of the true heroes of this whole situation. We'll get her inside perspective coming up in just a few minutes.
Body still.
but radio that rocks.
I'm quite aware of the way humans usually reproduce, which is messy, unsanitary, and based on living next to you for 3 years, involves loud and unnecessary appeals to a deity.
Oh, God.
Yes, exactly.
Radio Charlotte.
Incoming message.
Hey, everybody. It's Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters. I love you. What are you doing later on tonight? Text me back. Can I come over? Where are you? Can we meet somewhere?
Phantom Radio Live.
We think it kicks ass.
Phantom Radio Live on RadioCharlotte.com. It's Ren, 704-TAN line, 704-826-5463 if you're here in Charlotte or listening from around the country or from around the world for that matter. give me a call. Let me know. Just if you're in another country, you gotta include the one in the front. You know, that's the country code. You know how it works, man. I'm not telling you anything new. Give me a call. Let me know how you're getting through your day. You're going out for a jog, walking your dog, or sitting at home playing video games, watching Tiger King. What are you doing? We're all doing the best we can right now at this point, taking it day by day. But you know what? Through this entire thing, there are some heroes involved. I know we still have a long way to go with it. It's far from over, and it very well may still get worse before it gets better. But there's a group of people that every single day put their health and well-being on the line to help those in need. Those are the true heroes, the nurses and the doctors in these hospitals and these healthcare facilities in the battleground every single day. And I have one of these heroes on the phone with me right now. Her name is Natalie. She's a nurse at one of the busiest hospitals in New York. And right now they have a lot of COVID-19 patients. Natalie, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me tonight. How are you?
I am hanging in. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. Appreciate that. So you're up there in New York. What are you seeing up there? How are things going? I know we see a lot of things on TV. The news kind of portrays it a certain way. We read a lot of stuff on the internet. But what is that firsthand perspective for you every day?
So New York City is basically the epicenter of the breakout.
Mm-hmm.
We have definitely the most cases. But for starters, New York State has the largest amount of cases. Then New York City definitely is in the lead, which is understandable, being that the population is so high.
Yeah.
Basically, it kind of came crashing in. It was just kind of one after the other after the other. It happened really fast. Basically, as soon as one person was diagnosed in Westchester, which is actually where I'm from,
mm-hmm.
Everything happened very quickly.
Right.
So, you know, supplies are low, going to remain low.
Mm-hmm.
We are waiting for shipments of personal protective equipment.
Mm-hmm.
That includes things like masks, gowns, gloves, goggles, all things that we need to keep ourselves safe.
Right. Those are the PPEs that we keep hearing about, right? Personal protection.
Yes. Okay. Yes. PPE stands for personal protective equipment. Mm-hmm. So those are things that will vary depending on what type of disease you're treating. So mm-hmm. if a disease is airborne, then you need a special type of mask. So you might hear a lot of people talking about an N95 mask.
Mm-hmm.
If the disease is droplet, which is what the CDC is saying that coronavirus is, then you need just like a regular surgical mask with a face shield.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, your eyes covered, a gown. And then you only need your N95 if you're doing a certain type of procedure, like an aerosol procedure, or if a patient is getting intubated.
Right.
What we're seeing is a large number of people between the ages of 18 and 49.
Oh, wow.
More than 50% our kids with this virus are between 18 and 49.
Oh, wow. So that kind of goes against what, you know, we've been hearing that people with pre-existing conditions or the elderly are really that percentage of the population who could be in serious situation if they're exposed to this, but it's really starting to hit the younger crowd as well.
Yes. So those ages are the people that are most affected.
Mm-hmm.
However, the people that are getting the most sick and unfortunately are passing mm-hmm. are still, you know, the elderly and people with what we call other comorbidities, which can be high blood pressure, heart disease, diabetes. Obesity actually is another one that is common. But there are still young people that are getting intubated and are on ventilators.
Oh, wow. So what are you seeing? Are the hospitals starting to be overrun now? I know Governor Cuomo was saying that haven't really reached the peak of this quite yet, but are you really starting to see that rush of new patients coming in on a daily basis?
The emergency room is very busy.
Yeah.
There's just, you know, as you can probably imagine, just not enough space for everyone,
right.
especially because this is a very contagious virus.
Yeah.
So you can't put people all on top of each other like you could if it were something different.
Yeah.
So that's why space is limited. We have other campuses that are, like, you know, in Queens, they admitted 250 people from the ED in just one night.
Oh, wow.
You know, so this virus, some people can get it and have absolutely no symptoms and not even know that they have it,
mm-hmm.
While somebody else can get very, very sick.
Right, right.
So not everybody that goes into the emergency room needs to be there. Mm-hmm. Not everybody that goes into the emergency room gets admitted.
Right.
But there are a lot of people that do, unfortunately, have to get admitted. And of those people, a lot of them, unfortunately, are getting intubated.
Yeah.
The problem with intubation, which for people that might not know, is basically getting a breathing tube placed down your throat so that we can do the work of breathing for you, since the lungs are basically, a lot of people end up with pneumonia from this, right?
Yeah.
So you're kind of not able to breathe on your own.
Yeah.
A complication with that is ventilator-acquired pneumonia, which kind of seems counterintuitive. You know, infections, you have to have a catheter now. Mm-hmm. You're basically sedated or paralyzed for quite a while. So, you know, it would be great if we could just keep people intubated for a couple of days. But unfortunately, since this virus seems to hang around for at least 2 weeks, you kind of need to be intubated for around that amount of time. And that's what's difficult about this. Like, we have yet to see really how successful these intubations are going to be.
Right.
Because we just kind of started doing them. I mean, really, the virus kind of just took off about 3 weeks ago, where we started seeing a lot of people coming into the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So we've definitely had a successful extubation, mm-hmm. where we were able to take the tube out and the person is doing well.
Good.
But we have yet, that's good news. But we have yet to see how other people are going to do.
Right.
So that's, you know, one of the worries right now.
Yeah. And these ventilators that we keep hearing about, I know Governor Cuomo keeps saying that New York needs more ventilators, needs these ventilators. Are you kind of running into a situation where you're seeing a shortage of them right now? Or do you think within the next couple of weeks when this does peak that it is going to be an issue if you don't have the proper equipment?
It seems like if we keep on getting the amount of admissions that we currently have, that we will run into a problem.
Yeah.
We're also kind of hoping that people will be coming off.
Right.
So as they come off, other people can go on.
Yeah.
But again, since it's so early, we kind of still have to reach that 2 week mark before people can come off.
Yeah.
You know, but if people aren't doing well and they have to be re-extubated, which, you know, where they have to put the tube back down and go back on the ventilator, then it's not freeing up a ventilator for someone else.
Are you seeing cases of anybody who had the virus and was able to overcome it and then ends up being tested positive again?
Not yet.
Good.
So we believe that the people that do get COVID-19 do develop antibodies and have some sort of immunity. You know, viruses change. That's why, you know, the cold is different every time. Anytime you get a cold, it's like you can't fix it, right? It's always different. You can't get rid of it. So this is a particular strain that, you know, obviously that we're looking at. We do believe that people will develop these antibodies and hopefully not get sick again, but we can't say for sure.
Right, right. Do you know anyone personally up there that's been affected by this that has contracted coronavirus?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of our nurses got sick, and she actually ended up in the emergency room. Have to be admitted. Yeah, she had to be admitted, but luckily she did not end up intubated, not end up on a ventilator, and she is back home. She did get viral pneumonia. So you can either get bacterial pneumonia or viral pneumonia.
Right, right.
So if you get viral pneumonia, you know, viruses, there's really nothing that can kill it. You know, viruses, we don't really have any way of getting rid of it.
They just have to run their course pretty much.
Exactly. So you can do what we call supportive measures, which are like fluids, rest, you know, things for fever, you know, all supportive things, but nothing that's really going to knock it out.
Yeah. How many hours are you working a day? Are you guys really there for the long haul?
So we work in day and night shift. Mm-hmm. So we work 13 and a half hours
per shift. Oh, my goodness. Shift. I know you've got to be exhausted right now.
So nurses usually work that shift, so we're okay right now.
Right.
It's, you know, once this peaks, we probably will have to work some extra days.
Yeah.
So right now we're okay, but we'll see.
Well, that's good. Do you have any advice for people out there that are listening? There are still people out there that aren't taking this as seriously, and that's unfortunate. What's your advice, your words to them, based on what you've seen being there in the hospitals in New York on the front lines?
Yeah, so I definitely agree with you. I think a lot of people are not taking this seriously, and unfortunately probably won't until, God forbid, they get sick or somebody that they love gets sick.
Yeah.
I still see a lot of people, you know, I work in New York City, and there's still a lot of traffic. There's still a lot of people that are outside. They're hanging out in groups. They're not 6 feet apart.
Right.
This is very bad. I don't know how else to say it.
Based on the data and the things that you've seen, do you feel this is still going to get worse before it gets better?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think in 2 or 3 weeks, we'll see it at its peak.
Right.
And then hopefully it'll start to level off, but it will not level off if people don't start taking the social distancing seriously.
Right.
You know, as healthcare workers, you know, I live here with my sister, and I am scared to death to bring the virus home to my family.
Right.
You know, we're doing our best. You know, we use completely separate bathrooms. Like, I'm upstairs. I lock myself in my room.
Yeah.
It's not a joke. I know a lot of people think, you know, this is like the flu. This is not the flu.
Right.
It is nothing like the flu. You know, there are people, again, if you're lucky, you'll get it mild. You will recover at home. However, this is not the case for a lot of people.
Right, right.
And you just don't know. This is a gamble. It has, for some, it has nothing to do with whether you're young or healthy.
Mm-hmm.
We have people that are young and healthy that are intubated right now. It has, for some reason, it just doesn't have a pattern. You know, it's just affecting everybody differently. So I urge everyone to take this very seriously. This is unlike anything that we have ever seen before.
Yeah.
We're all kind of at a loss of what the next step is. You know, we're kind of taking this one day at a time. We're trying to be as aggressive as possible, but we need everybody's help. We all need to be in it together.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Natalie, you are amazing. You are one of the heroes in this whole situation. You and all of your colleagues, the doctors, the nurses, everybody there on the front lines. So thank you for what you do. You probably don't get thanked enough, but you truly are. Once this is all said and done and we look back on it and see what we can learn and what we've observed from this whole thing, you guys will be looked at as the heroes. So thank you so much for everything that you do.
We're just doing our job.
It goes a whole lot further beyond just your jobs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're all anxious right now, but we're very happy to take care of everybody.
Yeah.
I thank everybody. People are being very, very supportive, so I truly appreciate it, and I appreciate speaking to you right now as well.
All right, Nat, get some rest and take good care of you, okay?
Thank you. Thanks, friend.
Cigarettes in tiny liquor bottles, just what you'd expect inside her new Balenciaga. Vital mass turned dreams into an empire, self-made. Now she rolls with Rockefellers. Survival of the richest. The city's arms until the fall. They're Monaco and Hampton's bound. But we don't feel like outsiders at all. Some say he looks just like his father, but he can.
South End. You rock. Thanks for listening to Fathom Radio. RadioCharlotte.com.
Go ahead and tell me you got all you want. Fiverr says you're wrong, and I suppose you've come down to help me move things along. And we lapped it up, and we're wise enough to know how it goes. Forgive me, honey.
Fish in the Bottleman on RadioCharlotte.com. It's Phantom Radio Live. I'm Ren. Big thanks again to Natalie, who's a nurse at a very busy, overrun hospital in New York City right now. And they really are the true heroes, the doctors and the nurses in these hospitals and healthcare facilities. So thank you again for all that you do. And you know, when we're going through a time like this, we don't always take the time or make the time to check on our friends, to check on our family, to make sure everybody is doing okay. You know, we may get through the day and stay strong, but you know, on the inside, sometimes people need someone to talk to. They need to sort out their thoughts and feelings and kind of get their emotions out and at least talk about them, so it helps ease that tension and makes them feel better. So if you have family or friends out there that you haven't talked to in a little bit, reach out to them. Just ask them how they're doing. Just check on them. See how they're doing. See if they're okay. So I'm going to give my brother a call. I've never called him on the show before. His name is Dave. He lives in Greensboro. So I'm going to give him a call and see how he's doing. I know he's nonstop. He's got a wife and two kids and probably running himself crazy right now. Dave.
Hey, man.
What are you doing?
I'm driving into work right now.
Into work?
Yeah.
Getting away from the craziness at home.
Yeah, so it's been crazy, you know. I mean, it's not been fun at my house.
No, what's going on there?
Kids are taking online classes, which means they're on at the same time doing, like, video conferencing. Right. And Rachel's teaching, doing video conferencing. That's three people doing video conferencing in the house at the same time all afternoon.
Good grief.
And now I'm working from home. Yeah. There's no room. I have to pick up some... I have to transfer some files over from my server to my drive so I can work at home.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Sounds like fun. No, I hear you, man. Two kids at home trying to do the homeschool thing. A wife who's a teacher trying to do a whole homeschool thing. I mean,
three people at home in a small house all doing online classes at the same time.
Right. Online classes, has it been kind of a challenge? Are people understanding it? Is everybody on the same page? I've talked to a lot of people that have kids, and they're pretty much losing their shit. Because
I mean,
there's a mixture.
Yeah, there's a mixture of everything. So where the kids go to school, it's an academic magnet.
Yeah.
So they've been doing a lot of online supplemental learning on top of what they do in class.
So they've been doing it for a while.
So the teachers understand the program that the school system uses a lot better.
Right.
So they're actually, since day one, they've been going to class at home every hour on the hour, just like their regular schedule, and they're zooming in with their whole class, and you know they're doing their math classes, they're doing their science, they're doing PE, art, everything. They've had to change the curriculum a little bit, but they've got it. But now Rachel teaching kindergarten,
right?
It's a whole new world. These kids,
that's what I've heard. Yeah,
most of them have never even picked up a mouse before.
Oh wow.
You know, like, think about it. They all do, like, pads and phones, you know?
Yeah. Wow, that's
crazy. Like, when Rachel's teaching in school with computers, she's teaching them how to use a mouse. They don't understand why you can't just touch the screen.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then they can't log in. They're kindergarten. They don't know how to log in to these, you know, video streaming services.
And now, I was thinking back when we were in kindergarten. I know, you know, we didn't have all this technology like they do right now, but the level of the classes, the things that they're learning in kindergarten, it's a whole lot more advanced than, we were like finger painting doing macaroni art as far as I remember back then.
Yeah, like it's almost like first grade, maybe second grade now.
Right, right.
Like I helped Rachel film one of her classes. She was doing subtraction.
Yeah.
And she was... set up a bowling game where she would set up 10 aluminum cans and bowl them. So you started with 10 minus and explain what minus is and a little bit of abstract thinking, you know, and then you knock down 8 cans. How many cans are standing, you know? So I filmed her doing that so she could send it to her class and then they can do their math class. They can do like they can set up their own game at home and do it.
Yeah. Are the kids understanding what's going on with this whole virus thing?
Mine, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They call it the Corona vacation, though.
Corona vacation.
So they understand it's bad, but they don't understand that. Like, it hasn't affected them directly yet.
Right, yeah.
Hopefully it won't.
They don't know the severity.
Yeah, but kids that age.
Yeah. Do you know anybody that tested positive or anything yet?
Not yet.
Good.
It won't be long, I'm sure.
Yeah, this thing spreads like a wildfire, man. I've talked to several friends up north, New York, Connecticut, New Jersey, and they have a lot of friends up there that have tested positive or neighbors, you know. So that's crazy.
Yep. I'm going to be a high-risk person, though, because I'm still working during this because I'm working with the school system with their media and Cone Health, which is... The hospital system here. So.
Oh, right. How are they handling it?
Which one?
Both of them. I mean, you know, they're both.
They're the school system. They're just trying to get the correct information out.
Right.
You know, because you know the news will have something out and it could be correct, but it's not the whole story that the public needs to see and hear right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not just talking about PR. I'm talking about like everything. And not everybody is paying attention to the right sources or getting on and reading their email. So they have to hit. They have to hit parents and kids, approach it in multiple different ways. So whether it's through social media, through websites, through the news channels, through email, through whatever, you know, through their teachers, through they're having to really work hard to communicate.
That's what I'm hearing from different states in the country, is there's kind of a communication breakdown. Things aren't the right information, the facts aren't really getting through as much, or there's a lot of confusion and things like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, the schools had to rush into this real quick. It's not like they've done this before or had to. It's like all of a sudden, I mean, there's no training. All of a sudden it's like, hey, kids are staying at home. We're going to the online learning, and everybody's kind of trying to figure it out all at once.
385 years of teaching in the class.
Yeah, right.
One week to switch it to online learning.
Yeah, yeah. So it's no surprise that people are freaking out and, you know, having issues with it. But do you think this is going to change after all this is said and done and we come out on the other side of this? Do you think that the classroom is going to be changed forever with this technology now?
I mean, it was already starting to change. I think kids are going to be learning from home exclusively? Mm-hmm. No. I think it's barely working now with parents being home.
Yeah.
But, you know, when we get back to normal, we're not going to have the luxury of having parents home to watch over
exactly.
the kids.
Exactly. Yeah.
New class,
and there are a lot of parents right now that are still going to work, some of the essential workers, and they're having to balance everything and just can't do it. It's crazy.
They cannot.
And kids need that human interaction. They need to go play with other kids, you know.
And they are missing that bad.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Good they have each
it's
other,
cool,
but as we know as brothers, I mean, yeah, you play with your brothers, you have a good time, but, you know, sometimes you get kind of tired of it.
At least multiple times a day.
Brothers fight. It's what they do.
Well, it's kind of cool. One of the things, I was interviewing one of the principals, one of the schools here, and you know, she said two things. I was like, have you had any hiccups? What are some of the hiccups? She goes, well, some of the hiccups are, like, when we first got them back on to, like, online learning, when all the kids got to see each other again for the first time in a week, they couldn't teach anything because all they did was goof off online and show their pets and show their house and show all the, you know, all the cool. So what they've learned is they go ahead and give them, like, their 15 minutes before class to do that.
Yeah.
To interact with them
That's
as
good.
Much as they can.
That's good. That's cool.
And then the other thing she said is that, you know, the kids are a lot savvier, especially in the middle schools and high schools, are a lot savvier. So they're learning how to mute the teacher and take over these classes, or how to kick the teacher off. And, you know, all these just funny things. And she had a really good quote. She's like, you know, we've always had them come to us and we teach them in our environment. Now we're having to go to their world and teach them in their world.
Right. Now, you know, you know, out there somewhere, there is a kid that got stuck with taking home the class hamster for the weekend, and those parents are probably pissed right now.
Yeah. Well, we have class fish at our house right now.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Lovely. Fish a little bit easier, because if something happens, I mean, just go out and get another fish just like it, you know?
Yeah, you can flush them. Yeah. Nobody knows. It'll be like, you know, weeks before the kids see them again. They'll never remember.
Yeah.
Yep.
So how are you holding up, man? You're my brother, you know, right now in these times, it's good to reach out to family and talk to family and make sure everybody's okay. You doing okay?
Yeah. I've been busy, so that helps.
Yeah.
And then this weekend, you know, we're in the yard just, I rebuilt my fence, you know, all the gates in my fence, working in the yard, you know, going into the woods and digging up plants and replanting them in the yard.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, just some landscaping that we can do.
Good to stay busy.
Been busy with video editing and the video work we've been doing with the schools. So just hoping I don't catch this shit.
Right. Right. Just be safe and be smart, man.
Yeah. We've also been doing, like, you know, video chats with friends.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So getting on together. The other night we were in the backyard. We were playing we were drinking. It was me and Rachel, another couple that are in Richmond, and they had some kind of, like, game. I forget what it's called, but it's like a game you play on the phone.
Right. Nice.
And you take turns, and it's like, you know.
I love that.
Yeah.
A lot of people are doing that. So, Dave.
What?
Call your mother. She worries.
I've talked to her multiple times.
Okay, good.
I mean, I take that back. I called her. I didn't talk to her. She monologued to me for a good 45 minutes before I could get off.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of listening involved when you call mom.
There's a lot of listening involved. Yes. But she's ready. They've already been doing this. You know, they had some kind of upper respiratory thing.
They did. Yeah.
Isolated for a month already, so they're locked in. I tell you what, though, another thing, too, man, the allergies. Like, my allergies are going crazy, and every time I'm like, do I have corona or do I have allergies? Is this a corona or an allergy?
Get that little tickle in your throat. You start to freak out
you
a little
start
bit.
Start freaking out.
Yeah. They've been driving me crazy, too. You see on the news, it's like, if you have a runny nose or a tickle in your throat, and I'm like, oh, shit. Oh, no, wait, no, it's just allergies. It's all the pollen.
Yeah,
we're going to be okay, man. It's going to be good.
Yeah.
We'll be all right. Well, I'm glad you're well, man. Be safe and be well,
man.
And be smart and take care of the family.
All right, man. Love you, bro.
Love you, too. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right, that's it for tonight. You guys check on your friends, check on your family. Just make sure everybody's doing okay. Sometimes they just like to hear your voice. You know what I'm saying? You guys have a great night. I'll talk to you soon. Hang in there. Be well. Be safe. Good night, Blue Eyes.
Sometimes I feel cold.
Charlotte.